What AI is really good at is that sort of, if you break things into threes, the gathering of the information and sort of the structuring it and putting it into decision-ready bits. AI is amazing at that. And then the human can make the judgment of, I really like this, I don't like that, this is perfect. And so we use it all the time to get us that 80%.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan Gandolf here, founder and CEO of Audience Plus. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Garrett Scott of Bounty Labs. This is the second time we've had Bounty Labs on the show. I was joking a little bit. That first conversation kind of rattled me to my core. That's maybe a little bit extreme, but that conversation made me think about AI very differently. So I'm excited to have Garrett Scott here from the Bounty Labs team, the VP of Marketing. I'm excited to maybe take that first conversation and then get the marketing lens on it. And of course, we'll hit on all things AI and MarTech and B2B SaaS and everything happening in the world right now. Garrett, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your background and what you're up to at Bounty Labs in your own words.
Yeah, super excited to be here. So I've been in B2B tech almost 20 years now, always sort of in the SaaS world on the demand gen growth side of marketing. So super excited to join Bounty and work in the go-to-market space. Started way back when at WebEx and Cisco, and have enjoyed the journey ever since. So yeah, here at Bounty Labs, right, we create go-to-market tools for sales, soon to be one specifically for marketers, which we're really excited about. And all with the help of AI, my shirt will say it, right? We think AI is super important. That's changing the world, but humans still are at the core of everything that we do and who we build things for, right? Like, you wouldn't send your AI to a sales dinner to close a deal. You would still go, but the AI can do so much work for you to prepare and be ready for and even get you that dinner. So humans are still selling, hopefully, to humans. I don't want a day when a bot is talking to a bot, which we're close to on the email front, right? Like, someone's going to write an email bot reader that says this email is important because we're all getting spammed. So yeah, the future's bright. We hope to be part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm excited to dig into that. I think that example of a dinner is so spot on, and maybe we'll start there. But first, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. Garrett, we always ask our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
It's a great question. I dabble. So there's two. I try to find a scotch that is not smoky. So any suggestions would be great. But also, I've been on a Malbec kick. My girlfriend and I took a Argentinian class. And so, yeah, you know, just try things that are a little bit out of the norm, right? Like, that's always my go-to. So if something looks a little different, I'm there for it.
I'm a Malbec fan as well. And I'll probably, if there's any wine nerds here listening, and I say that lovingly, I'm a beer and bourbon nerd. I lived in Australia for a brief period of time, and Malbec was one of the styles you could find there often as well. So I'm always kind of seeking that style out as well. So I like that answer. Well, cool. So let's jump into kind of what you were saying about sending AI to a sales dinner. Right. Obviously, it sounds crazy to say out loud. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's suggesting that. But there does seem to be, like, we've ridden this wave of AI, generative AI. AI has been around for a lot longer than generative AI. But as I think the kind of broader culture talks about AI, that's really what we're talking about. It came on the scenes and I felt like there was this, like, first, there was this panic of it's taking everybody's jobs. It's going to replace everything. And now I think the pendulum swung back to kind of what you're saying. Like, it really shouldn't replace humans. Hopefully, it makes humans more effective. You mentioned that sales kind of research example. So maybe it's telling us more about that. But what are some of the real world use cases you're seeing where AI is truly complementary to humans versus replacing humans?
Yeah. I mean, certainly Bounty, our core product, does just that, right? We research and prepare everybody, any seller, for any phone call or message they want to send. So that's obviously a huge use case, right? You either don't do it because you're so busy filling out your Salesforce fields and tracking all the things and doing everything that us marketers want you to do, but probably end up never looking at.
Then I was going to say, who are these salespeople you're talking about that are filling out their fields? And
I'm being generous. But you're doing those sort of menial tasks that you end up, you either don't do a good enough job understanding why your prospective buyer or your customer wants to buy more or even buy, you just get on a call, or you just don't do it at all, right? Because it's like, I'm in so many back-to-backs, I don't have this research. So the human still sells, right? I can see your face. I understand who you are. I can read the tone of your voice and alter the words so that I can make that judgment call. But what AI is really good at is, if you break things into threes, the gathering of the information and sort of the structuring it and putting it into decision-ready bits. AI is amazing at that. And then the human can make the judgment of, I really like this, I don't like that, this is perfect, right? It gets you 80% of the way there. And so we obviously use it in a bunch at our labs. Like, the marketing team is two, which I'm very thankful to have Kelly on the team. And we couldn't do it all. We couldn't write enough pieces. We couldn't write or create enough. And so we use it all the time to get us that 80%, right? Like, here's most of what I'm thinking, or I say it out loud in a meeting, and then I transcript it out and I get it 80%, right? Because the blank page problem for a marketer is the worst. How do I just start? I'm an editor. I know plenty of people who are creators, but I'm really good at editing something. So at least it gets me somewhere. And that just staring at a screen for a half an hour every time I need to start something, or just don't start it. Put that one off. That's where AI is super powerful. It gets you 80 to 85% of the way there, which I think people are starting to realize is actually what it's good for. It's not a human. It doesn't have the collective history yet of all of your experiences that make you great at what you do, but it is able to get you that amazing 85%, right? And if I have to make a new website or write a new homepage copy, I have five options to choose from in 5 minutes instead of a week's worth of work. And so that's, I think, the comfortability that people are realizing that it's not going to solve my job. It's just not yet. And then that's okay. But it's going to make me a lot more efficient and allow me to spend time either on more things or create better work because I just couldn't do it before.
Yeah. And I think now what people are realizing is that it actually makes that 15 to 20% you're able to be more creative, right, and have more fun because it takes all that weight of the blank page problem that you reference off of your shoulders. It's like, oh, all of a sudden, like, there's less menial work here to be done. I can actually infuse now creativity, right, and some inspiration on top of this work. The example I've shared a few times is we were hosting an event and I had to send out event invites to a bunch of people in market. And I was like sitting there, I think it was an afternoon one day. I'm like, I don't know what to type. And so, you know, dropped it into our AI tool of choice. And it was like, it wasn't bad, but it was just so different from what I was envisioning and wanted that it actually like inspired me to be like, you know what, this isn't that hard. Let me just go hammer this out real quick. And I could have kept engineering the prompt there and gotten it where I wanted with our AI tool. But again, it just solved that moment of the blank page problem. Instead of putting it off, it at least gave me a starting point to be like, all right, you know what, now I've got the creative juices flowing and I can go from there. So I think you're exactly right. Kind of that blank page problem being a big part of what it's overcoming for us marketers.
Yeah, I've only got an hour to think of something. That whole hour, like you said, is that last 15%. What's going to make this incredible is huge because there's only so much time in the day.
Yep. It's very cool. Well, okay, so I'm going to maybe recap the conversation we had with your founders at Bounty Labs, and feel free to like correct me if I've misinterpreted any of this, but I joked a little bit earlier, it's shaking me to my core, but I just think how Bounty Labs is thinking about AI is a lot different than a lot of people are thinking about AI. So let me start there. I think a lot of us, ourselves included here at Audience Plus, you know, our general parameters for how we're using AI is like, let's go find efficiencies in our business, right? Like, let's make AI make us more cost effective, faster, leaner, whatever the efficiency is we want to gain. It sounds like what Bounty Labs is doing is you're noticing opportunities in the market. And instead of just like internally looking at how you can use AI, you're actually letting the market tell you how you should use AI. And then instead of just like using one brand or one business as this shell for these applications of AI, you're actually saying, hey, no, let's apply our AI and let's go create a new business or a new brand that the market is demanding from us. And that's the actual go-to-market strategy. Have I encapsulated that properly?
Yeah, for the most part, right? Like, we have all bought software because it does one thing, but then you end up spending $2,000 a month for something that probably should have cost you, that you only need a couple hundred dollars for, right? You need the enterprise plan, but you only need it for one bullet. It's also harder to market at times. And so, yeah, we're blessed with some of the most incredible AI engineers I've ever worked with. And we kind of like, hey, this thing's neat. And they're like, yeah, can I have like a week? And we're like, sure. And this is how Lead Talk came about. And they said, yeah, no, here. And it was a couple of days and they're like, this works, right? And we're like, yeah, no, that works. We should make that. And so we did. We've got another one coming out that I'm really excited about because it's for marketers. And I think from concept to first design, first prototype was a couple of weeks, and it's been maybe 2 or 3 months since that. So yeah, we see a problem, solve the problem is sort of how we're operating, right? Like, make it super cheap because it doesn't need to be expensive. It solves a very specific problem. If you want all of them, you can buy all of them, of course, but not everybody needs everything. And so can we solve this part of a problem that Clay does, even though Clay is incredible, but you don't need the full suite. You know, you're a smaller company. You don't have a ton of resources. You're just a solopreneur. I just want to solve this one problem for me, right? I have a problem. I'm researching. You're a founder, right? Founders don't need a huge, but they do need to improve their ability to make their founder-led motion. They've only got so many hours to sell. Okay, how can we make those hours more efficient? So it's harnessing the power of AI to make humans' lives better, but not in this all-encompassing, give us $50,000 a year and I swear we'll do better, right? Like, which is what a lot of—
it's on the roadmap.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of the companies out there are like, just give us 50 grand, you'll get more stuff. Don't worry about how it happens, but we'll do it. I think that's where the overpromise and like the pushback that a lot of people had with AI is like, you can't do all of that. Stop saying you can do all that. Anybody that says, look, we'll get you 100 meetings a week with our AI SDR, fine. But did you meet with like the lowest level person at the company who's like, oh, a meeting? Like, I remember being younger and being like, I'll take a meeting about a new tool because then I could be like, I have a new, you know what I mean? So it's not just about volume, right? We just know that that's the problem that AI has created for everything.
I'm fascinated in what this means for marketing, multiple businesses, multiple brands. This feels like a very like new school modern spin on the old, like, are we a house of brands? Are we a branded house or the multiple product lines within one business? What is that tactically mean for your role in managing marketing for Bounty Labs, but also the multiple brands that you're standing up?
Yeah, it's not easy. We had lots of debates about it. So it makes it harder on like a budgeting and a P&L, and you can have difficult context switching. But what it does do is allow for extremely tight messaging and extremely tight sort of go-to-market motions. Tracking is also pretty easy. Like all the little things, it's like, how'd that do? I worked in New Relic forever, and we went from just a tiny little APM tool for developers to having, I think there were 7 products at the end. And we're like, do we allocate the success, the budget? Like, it's the same problem. It's just all under one brand. So we had lots of debate about it. It's got its pros and cons. Certainly as a marketer, it means 8 times it could be twice as much work or 3 times as much work. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll have something coming out that the marketers will love. But it also allows us to be extremely tight and test things out and try new channels easier at times. But again, from an operations standpoint, the back end, the tooling, it's more work.
Yeah, it's a forcing function for like niching down, right? And like being able to be very specific with language, with use cases. Like you said, I think I've been at businesses too where we had email marketing, mobile marketing, social marketing. And it's like, you end up creating internal fights over budgets and such. And like, oh man, it's just a nightmare.
We're hoping to avoid that. But you know, it's interesting. I'm excited. The market seems to be too.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, so then let's kind of blend those last two talking points, both kind of how Bounty Labs is using AI. How do you use AI in your day-to-day as a marketer?
I mean, every single way conceivable. It's almost like I don't have a thought without running, like checking with the GPT. As I said, I'm a terrible starter of things. And so it's just, I have a thought, do this. You're the product marketer for this thing. Tell me all this stuff. And then make, so it's every day. Like if you read a word on our website, it probably had its hand in a GPT. It really helps. I don't know if Usher brought this up on his call or co-founder, but like his dialogue back and forth to like help him flush out his ideas and how do we want to frame his big vision view of like how it is impacting society, which is mind-bending to me sometimes. It's incredible. And like you could see the whole thought process. And so we use it for everything. We load our messaging and positioning documents into it and then just say like, use Bounty's messaging and write me 2 ads and go. And then we're off and running, right? Like we don't know everything that's going to work. We're still super small. We can't just say, oh, run that. We know it's good. It allows us the ability to test in mass. Yeah, we use it every day. If you look at the recent blog posts that I wrote, the AI images are amazing. Like there's nothing like asking a designer, hey, can I get an image for a blog? And they're supposed to be funny, and so they are. But anytime I have to make something, it will likely get a revision, at least 1 or 2. I'll probably have to remove all the emojis, but you know,
The emojis and the M dashes, right? That's the new thing that everyone's like.
Apparently, that's the dead giveaway in LinkedIn. If you want to boost a post or write an ad, you can only have 5, so that's helpful. But yeah, it just makes the 80% so much faster, right? Like, we can do the job of 4 or 5 marketers, although I'd rather have 4 or 5 marketers, I think.
You mentioned like testing, yeah. And I was maybe going to ask this when you're talking about starting the new brands kind of within Bounty Labs. Maybe on both those fronts, both like macro with the new brands, maybe micro with like the experiments. How does Bounty Labs know if something is successful or failed? And like, how do you know? Because I feel like almost just as hard as starting these brands is pulling the plug when maybe it's not what you thought it was going to be. How do you guys like communicate and organize around success and failure and milestones to know whether or not it's successful?
Certainly around launch is super straightforward, right? Like the launching and those KPIs are all the standard things that anybody would do when you're launching a new product or new brand. Luckily, we haven't had anything fail yet. Most things are very young. I mean, Bounty has only been publicly available since like September, Lead Talk, I should remember, but I think mid-January. So they're all still really, really young. But what we are able to do is test CTAs, test what's important, right? Like everybody has an opinion on is like, what's your tone of voice? What's your language? Like all, and no one really knows until the market tells you, hey, you're too stiff or you're not stiff enough. And so we constantly test and iterate that for a while. Luckily, there's not a ton of overhead in the products and the maintenance is not too heavy yet. I assume it will be very, very soon, but we're not at a point where we've had to make a call that this is a good idea or not. Once it's out, obviously we do a ton of work internally. It's got a harder test to get it out in public than it probably does other places. Like when you make a go-to-market product, you have those people internally, right? Like, and so we're pretty hard on it. And if I can't go, for the new tool we're building for marketers, we had a call today. And it's like, I'm just going to rip it apart until I want to use it. Hopefully I have a good enough judge of something's useful, but it's got a pretty rigorous internal testing, internal bar in order to get out. So it's a long-winded answer saying we haven't yet had to have a decision of, do we need to pull the plug on something? I think there'll be questions about, do we fold brands together? Does something move into another product or how do they play together? That is a discussion that we do have. So it might not be that it fails, but I mean, it's code. You shouldn't just toss it out if it can't find another use. So yeah, that's probably the next discussion is like, should that be by itself or should we fold it in because everybody who uses that kind of asks for it, or should we pull something out and sort of make it its own thing?
It's a cool challenge. It's interesting. They're like puzzle pieces, but also their own individual puzzles a little bit.
And it's all because of the backend products, really, that the Bounty Labs is built in such a way that it is just puzzle pieces. And I say, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do that. And they go, oh yeah, just take that workflow and that workflow and that workflow and we'll put them together. And then there's the new thing. And we're like, oh, okay. So it's the back end, what we call gen nodes, that make this incredibly easy to do. And I say incredibly easy as the person who doesn't actually have to build it. Much, much easier, I should say, because at the end of the day, we're trying to improve workflows with AI. You know, that's what it does.
Yeah. And I love the internal use case. Like if we don't find it valuable, then how can we expect our customers to? We do that all the time at Audience Plus. In fact, I know we're both venture-backed businesses, but I always loved when we were fundraising, they're like, how are you growing your business? I was like, well, let me show you how we use our own product and like the tangible results we've seen from it. I think, especially for go-to-market tech, that is like such a barrier to make sure you're crossing is that your own internal team is excited to use the product. Yeah. I know there are some products out there where that's probably not the case, but that's neither here nor there. That's a separate podcast episode, probably. The question we always wrap these conversations with, and I have to say your founders had two of the more, we'll call them hotter, I won't call them more unpopular opinions, but they had two of the hotter takes on what is an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
Their takes are very hot. And I love them for having them. It's probably not a hot take. I don't know how to phrase it right. LinkedIn is my unpopular opinion. Like I participate in it. We have influencers ourselves and it's a necessary evil, but like, it's just such an odd place. It's an odd place to spend your day, like ranging from unbelievably useful. Like that was an amazing tip. Thank you. I actually am going to go share that around and we're going to use it, all the way to actually having super inferiority complex because it's like, that's what you're doing. And so like, it really plays on you. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a safe place, but it's a necessary thing. It's way too expensive. but they know that and they've got their market. But yeah, LinkedIn, I don't even think it's that's going to be that unpopular.
It's also the first one-word answer we've ever had to that question.
Like I said, I'm not necessarily a creator, but I can find a lot. I can find a lot of words once they start. There's nothing to do about it, but yeah. Good old LinkedIn.
It is. I mean, it is. I think about it sometimes. You're right. Like, you almost have to play the game, but then you're playing the game. You're like, I'm not sure I'm liking playing this game. And then you're not sure if you can or how to win the game exactly. I think a lot about, like, I don't know if you ever see your like Facebook posts from like when you were in high school or like college or whatever. And it's just like cringy. And I think about that sometimes when I'm posting on LinkedIn, like the 10 year now for me version is going to see me like in some of what I post and be like, that was very weird, but I guess everyone else is being a little weird, so maybe it's okay.
You be you, do whatever works. You know, I'm just not, maybe it's being 40 now, but like I'm not on it all. Like, I don't post a ton of stuff. It's never felt right anyways. Like, I created the Facebook page and the Twitter account, but it was for Facebook more well, because I was the 24-year-old who was like, you should be there. I think I've made like 200 posts on Twitter in my entire life. You know what I mean? Like, so anyways, it's just not who I am. LinkedIn.
That's okay. And I think you've proven like there's a way to, obviously there are tons of people out there who are extremely successful that don't use LinkedIn or care about LinkedIn. I think sometimes that's part of the mystery of LinkedIn. I think sometimes some of the louder people are the people who maybe aren't as effective in the day-to-day or the role or whatever it may be. And now I'm spewing my own unpopular opinions.
Take everything with a grain of salt.
There we go. I like that. Well, Garrett, if people want to learn more about Bounty Labs, Lead Talk, or any of the other upcoming brands that you all are releasing, or learn more from you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, easiest way to do it is just go to bounty.ai, bounti.ai, or leadtalk.ai. Go ahead and sign up. We're there. You can find me on LinkedIn, just Garrett Scott. That's probably the best way. I give you my email address, but I'm not that crazy. But yeah, and again, we'll have something new in about a... I'm not going to put a date on it because I would get yelled at. But I'm the marketer who always wants to put a date on things. So yeah, new and exciting coming up.
Love that. Well, Garrett, thank you so much for joining the Content Cocktail Hour today. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another episode. Until next time, same place. Cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.